Tonight, I'd like to introduce our 10-minute speaker, who is Nat S. from San Diego.
Okay. I'm Nat. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you all for coming tonight. I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to speak at this meeting and to hopefully carry a clear message of Alcoholics Anonymous. So my sobriety date is April 4th, 2004. And this spring, I will be 4 years sober. I got sober when I was 26 years old, and I just turned 30. My belly button birthday was about 2 weeks ago. So I'm a big 3-0 now. And, yeah. So, yeah. So I got sober in New York in a city called Poughkeepsie, which is about 60 miles north of New York City. And my home group there was Let's Get Sober, was the name of the home group, and it met in a church basement. And I was walking distance from the apartment that I lived in at the time, and I remember I had gone to, I think, 2 AA meetings before I'd gotten sober. And I really just wasn't ready. I liked what people had to say, but, you know, thanks for the information. I'm going to try it on my own. And, you know, those last days of my drinking were just hell. I really thought that I could do it on my own. I really thought that just the desire to want to stop drinking was enough. And I had gone to, it was November of 2003, and I had gone to a conference, a business conference. I was one of the top real estate brokers in the county at that point. And I was really kind of high on my game and sort of wheeling and dealing. I was single. I already had one ex-husband under my belt, and thankfully at that point no kids, because I think that would have been just I have so much respect for women that have children and then come into the program, because I have 2 kids now, and, God, I just don't know how you do it, you know. And so I was living in this, you know, this little apartment. It was 4 rooms. You actually had to walk through one room to get to the next room. And, you know, I was going to work what I'm trying to lay out is, on the outside, I looked good. I looked really good. And, you know, nobody that I worked with would have thought that I was alcoholic. In fact, you know, I could even, you know, have a couple drinks after work with the people that I worked with, or, you know, go to functions for my job. And, you know, there wasn't really any problem that people could see. So I really thought that I had it under control. But after hours, I would go to my real estate office, and I would carry. I was sort of a specialty drinker. So if it was imported and expensive, I drank it. And if it was, you know, of the lower variety, or if you could find it at the grocery store, I wouldn't touch it. And I thought that meant that I was an alcoholic. So I had you know, imported dark beer, and I would put the imported dark beer in an apple juice container, because it was the same color as you know, apple juice. And I would take that after hours to my real estate office, and I would drink at my real estate office. And I actually had a real estate partner and a financial partner and a personal assistant. And my personal assistant was a high school student. I think he was like 17 years old. And I would drink in my real estate office with my personal assistant there. And I thought nothing of, thankfully none of you have ever had the opportunity to be clients of mine. But I would drive people around in the car after I'd had a couple drinks. And, you know, my favorite way to start the day was, you know, I'd get up in the morning and I'd answer some emails and, you know, get to business, and I'd be drinking scotch, you know, 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, you know, doing the normal things that people do in the morning, you know, watching Little House on the Prairie or whatever it was, you know, thinking about, you know, what my life could be like, you know, if I wasn't a lush. So that's kind of where things were at, but I didn't think I was an alcoholic. And, you know, I think I had some signs early on that there was definitely a problem. You know, the way that I grew up really wasn't pretty, and you know, none of that really made me an alcoholic, but it certainly meant that in my mind I had every excuse to drink. You know, I had an alcoholic father, and he was very abusive, and oftentimes when I was younger, I remember, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, jumping in front of him before he beat my mom, and that was what growing up in my house was like. And as I got a little bit older, I cut my water there. as I got a little bit older, my parents actually got involved with this other couple. My parents were swingers, and we moved into this house with a bunch of people living in the house, you know, swapping bedrooms and, you know, raising kids together. And so I had, you know, I was one of four children in this house, and so they weren't really my step-siblings technically, but, you know, that we were kind of all raised together. And the man that raised me was not my father, but I called him Dad, and I called my biological father by his first name. I mean, it just wasn't really your normal family. You know, children at school weren't allowed to sleep over at my house. You know, it was kind of that kind of a situation. So there was something different about the way that I grew up. And when I was 15 years old, I actually left home. And I had the opportunity to do that because my whole life, everybody had pegged me as being sort of a gifted child. And I really don't know if I was gifted or necessarily more intelligent than other people, but I think that was sort of my way out. And I just felt that as long as I got good grades, people would sort of leave me alone. And, you know, so I always got really good grades in school, and I was sort of an overachiever. So I moved out of my house when I was 15 years old, and I had the opportunity to go to college at 15. So here I was at a, you know, very reputable institution in Massachusetts, and I went to school there for the first 2 years, and I graduated with my associate's degree at 17 years old. Because everyone was so young at the college that I went to, it was a dry campus. I didn't really have there wasn't really a lot of drinking. I wasn't really exposed to a lot of drinking, but, you know, I got really involved with, you know, the set of people that were, you know, the marijuana smokers, and I made my name among those folk. And so at 17 years old, I actually decided that I couldn't live in the United States anymore. It just wasn't going to work for me. So I moved to Greece, Athens, Greece. I got on a plane. I didn't speak any Greek. Nobody in my family is Greek, but I just got on a plane and went to Greece. You know, it was geographic cure of the best kind. So I show up in this foreign country, you know, where there's pretty much no drinking age. And at 17 and 18 years old, when I was living there, I started to drink. And, you know, I think I'd probably had a sip or two before that, but nothing really that sticks out in my mind. You know, I think maybe I'd gotten, you know, drunk one night at a party and all that. But it just, you know, just there were other things that were more easily accessible to a teenager. So I did those things and I didn't really drink until I went to Greece. And drinking was great. Drinking was fabulous. I spoke Greek better when I was drunk. And people seemed to like me when I was drinking. So I don't really see that there was a problem. And, you know, kind of what happened with that whole situation, sort of fast forward a little bit, is by my senior year, I was 18 and 19 years old, a college senior, and I was really overwhelmed by having to write an undergraduate thesis. And I left school that year, and I didn't complete my thesis. I left 2 credits shy of graduation, so I didn't graduate with the rest of my class. And again, that was another good excuse, you know, to drink. And you know, what I noticed over the few years after that is that, you know, drinking really became my love. And I would choose that before I would choose other things. Hanging out with friends or being in a successful relationship or leading anything like a healthy lifestyle. So what I really identified with when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous was this idea that, you know, men and women drink essentially because of the effect produced by alcohol. And while I knew that it was bad for me, you know, I couldn't differentiate the true from the false. So that ease and comfort that I got from alcohol led me to make that decision over other things. And I really identified with that. And, you know, I got married because I thought, you know, my problem was that I wasn't married. So I married someone who asked, and that didn't really go very well. I think we only lived together for about 8 or 10 months, and then the marriage sort of fell apart. And at that time, I had a job, a really good job. I worked for the state legislature in research. And, you know, I wasn't fired, but I really couldn't keep that job because I couldn't figure out how to show up every day wearing different clothes or, you know, brush my hair or wash the smell of alcohol off my body from the night before, you know. So I think they just kind of got fed up with me. And I think at one point I tried to take a leave of absence, but they said, you know, you just need to go. So I didn't really, technically I've never been fired from a job, but that's, you know, definitely a disappointment. So I got one of those under my belt. But, you know, I managed to pick myself up by my bootstraps and do this gig in real estate, and I was pretty successful at that. So when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I would sit around in these meetings, and I would, you know, be dressed real professionally in my business suit, and, you know, and I would just cry about how it was too important to be here. You just didn't understand. You know, I could be out making money right now, not sitting around with a bunch of drunks. You know, and the decision that I had to make when I got sober was, did I want to stay sober or did I want my career? What was more important? And I really had to choose sobriety. And I felt that I was hindered in the area where I grew up, where I was doing the real estate, because I was like a household name. People knew who I was. You know, I was like I was the little lady on your grocery cart, you know, with the real estate picture and all that. So I didn't feel so anonymous in Alcoholics Anonymous. And at 90 days sober, I actually picked myself up and I moved to Virginia Beach, and I lived in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and that's where I really got heavily involved in service. I became the GSR for my home group at the time, and then I showed up at one of the district meetings and they needed an alternate DCM, which is a district committee member, and I volunteered for that. And the DCM ended up getting a job transfer. So I became the DCM of the district, which is the Oceanfront District, in Area 71, which is the state of Virginia. So, you know, I'm going off to conferences and I'm doing all this other stuff. And in the meantime, I get involved in young people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that was really an interesting opportunity to be of service in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I hadn't really gotten sober in young people, but I really saw the need for that. I saw the need for young people to feel that they had a place and that they were part of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it turned out that I ended up being the co-chair for the Visky Pa Host Committee, which is the Virginia State Conference of Young People in AA, which happened to be held that year in Virginia Beach. So so I'm the co-chair of the Visky Pa Committee, and I'm the DCM of the district as well. And we brought the state conference to Virginia Beach that year. And you know, the way that I live my life today, my husband's in the military and we've moved out here to San Diego. And in the meantime, I've had a daughter. I have a 1-year-old daughter, and my sister passed away last year at Christmas. So I took custody of my 2.5-year-old nephew. He was actually 22 months at the time that I took custody of him. So that was a year ago, and he lives with my husband and myself. And I think that I would not have been able to do these things, you know, get married, have a daughter, take custody of my sister's son, if I hadn't been a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the last thing that I want to say is that, you know, I was able to do these things not by showing up at meetings and, you know, not by, you know, going and fellowshipping afterwards, but because I worked the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous as they're outlined in the book. And I had a woman that was really patient with me. Her name is Lisa. And she took me through that book line by line, page by page, and we talked about the information in there. And I was really able to see myself in those pages. And that's the way that I take my sponsees through the book as well, so that we can really go over all that information that's in the book, and we can identify so that I can do it myself again, and they can walk through it for the first time. And we can see ourselves in those pages and identify as alcoholics and see what the real and true solution is. So thank you so much for letting me come out and speak for you tonight, and I hope that you guys enjoy the rest of the meeting. Thanks.